1. Rob 2. And now, Mr. and Mrs. Brian Morris's Ford Popular.
Who, a year ago, had heard of Mr. and Mrs. Brian Norris of 37 Gledhill Gardens, Parsons Green. And yet, their epic journey in EBW 343 has set them alongside Thor Heyerdahl and Sir Edmund Hillary. Starting only with a theory, Mr. Norris set out to prove that the inhabitants of Hounslow could have been descendants of the people of Surbiton who had made the Great Chalk March. No newcomer to this field, Mr. Norris's A Short History of Motor Traffic Between Purley and Esher had become a best-selling minor classic in the car swapping belt. But why would the people of Surbiton go to Hounslow? Mr. Norris had noticed three things. Firstly, the similarity of houses. Secondly, the similarity of costume between Hounslow and Surbiton. And thirdly, the similarity of speech.
Oh, are you still running the GTB DMDB?
Yes, but I've had the excess nipples wobble to remove tamping.
Jolly good.
Were these just coincidences, or were they, as Mr. Norris believed, part of an identical cultural background? One further discovery convinced him. The lawnmower. Surely such a sophisticated household gadget could not have been generated independently in two separate areas. Mr. Norris was convinced.
I'm convinced.
But how to prove it? There was only one way to see if the journey between Surbiton and Hounslow was possible, and that was to try and make it. Months of preparation followed while Mr. Norris continued his research in the Putney Public Library, and Mrs. Norris made sandwiches. Finally, by April, they were ready. On the 23rd, Mr. and Mrs. Norris set out from a bidewee to motor the 15 miles to Surbiton, watched by a crowd of local well-wishers. That evening, they dined at Tooting. This would be the last they'd see of civilization. Mr. Norris's diary for the 23rd reveals the extraordinary calmness and deep inner peacefulness of his mind.
7:30, fed cat. 8 o'clock, breakfast. 8:30, yes, successfully. 9 o'clock, set out on historic journey.
On the morning of the 24th, early to avoid the traffic, Mr. Norris's historic expedition set out from Surbiton, destination Hounslow. Early on, they began to perceive encouraging signs. The writing on the sign was almost exactly the same as the writing in the AA book. They were on the right route. During the long hours of the voyage, Mr. Norris's wife, Betty, kept a complete photographic record and made sandwiches. This is some of the unique footage which Mrs. Norris got back from the chemists. Mile succeeded mile, and the terrific strain was beginning to tell when, suddenly, by an amazing stroke of luck, Mr. Norris had come across the Kingston Bypass. This was something to tell the round table. At this stage, Mr. Norris was faced with two major divergent theories concerning his Surbiton ancestors. Did they take the Kingston Bypass, turning left at Barnes, or did they strike west, up the A308, via Norbiton to Hampton Wick? Both these theories ran up against one big obstacle. The Thames, lying like a silver turd between Richmond and Isleworth. This was a major setback. How could they possibly cross the river? Several hours of thought produced nothing. There was only one flask of coffee left when suddenly Mr. Norris spotted something. Could this have been the method used? Hardly daring to believe, Mr. Norris led his expedition onto the 347. 40 minutes later, via Clapham, Fulham, Chiswick and Brentford, they approached their goal. Hounslow. Was this then the final proof? Something aroused the accountant's instinct buried deep in Mr. Norris's makeup. The journey was possible, and yet, Wrong Way Norris had accidentally stumbled on a piece of anthropological history. It was the inhabitants of Hounslow who had made the great trek south to the sunnier pastures of Surbiton, and not vice versa as he had originally surmised. This was the secret of Surbiton. Happy and contented, Mr. Norris returned to the calmer waters of chartered accountancy. For in his way, Wrong Way Norris was right.
Now, approach. Right. It's come to my notice that certain boys have been running a unit trust linked assurance scheme. Fringe benefits and full cash and endowment facilities. Apparently, small investors were attracted by the wide-ranging portfolio, and that in the first week, the limited offer was oversubscribed 8 times.
It was Tidwell's idea, sir.
Shut up, Stevett, I haven't finished. Oh, by the way, congratulations on winning the Italian Grand Prix at Monza.
Thank you, sir.
Shut up. Now then, this sort of extracurricular capitalist expansion has got to stop. I made it quite clear when Potter tried to go public last term that these massive stock exchange deals must not happen in big school. Is that clear, Balderston?
Yes, sir.
Oh, and Balderston, next time you do a panorama report on the black ghettos, you must get an exeat form from Mr. Dibley. Shut up and stop slouching. Now, the reason I called you in here today is that my wife is having a little trouble with her waterworks, and I think she needs a bit of attention. Now, which one of you is the surgeon? Come on, I know one of you is. Now, which one is it? Oh, Tidwell. Good, well, I want you to come along and have a look at the wife.
Oh, sir, why don't you ask Stebbins? He's a gynecologist.
Oh, you rotten stinker, Tidwell. Is this true, Stebbins? Are you a gynecologist?
Yes, sir.
Right, just the man. How much you charge?
30 guineas, sir.
Excellent. Right, I want you to go along, see the wife, give her a full examination, let me know the results by the end of break. And don't pick your nose.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, last week, we showed you how to become a gynecologist. This week on How to Do It, we're going to show you how to play the flute, how to split an atom, how to construct a box girder bridge, how to irrigate the Sahara Desert and make vast new areas of land cultivatable. But first, here's Jackie to tell you all how to rid the world of all known diseases.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Jackie.
Well, first of all, become a doctor and discover a marvellous cure for something, and then when the medical profession really starts to take notice of you, you can jolly well tell them what to do and make sure they get everything right so there'll never be any diseases ever again.
Thanks, Jackie. Great idea. How to play the flute. Well, here we are. You blow there and you move your fingers up and down here.
Great, Alan. Well, next week we'll be showing you how black and white people can live together in peace and harmony. Yes. And Alan will be over in Moscow showing us how to reconcile the Russians and the Chinese. So, until next week, cheerio.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes, he's such a clever little boy. Just like his father.
Oh, do you think so, Mrs. Niggerbaiter?
Oh, yes. Spitting image.
Afternoon, Mother. Afternoon, Mrs. Niggerbaiter.
Oh, he's walking already.
Yes, he's such a clever little boy. Oh, hoochie-coo.
Hello, hoochie-coo. Hello, hoochie-coo. Look at him laughing, eh? He's a chirpy little fellow, isn't he? Isn't he a chirpy little fellow, eh?
Of course I can talk. I'm Minister for Overseas Development.
Oh, he's a clever little boy. He's a clever little boy. Do you like your apple? Do you like your apple? Look at his little eyes. Follow your eyes. Look at his icky, 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 icky eyeballs. Oh, he's got a tummy tum tum. Oh, he's got a tummy tum tum.
Could I have a quick cup of tea, please? I have an important statement on Rhodesia to make in the Commons at 6.
Mrs. Megabate has exploded!
Good thing, too.
She was my best friend!
Oh, Mother, don't be so sentimental. Things explode every day.
Yes, I suppose so. Anyway, I didn't really like her that much.
Oh. Hello, I'm your new vicar. Can I interest you in any encyclopedias?
Oh, no! We're not church people, thank you.
How about brushes? Nylon or bristle? Strong duffet, attractive colours?
No, really, thank you, Vicar.
Oh, dear. Turkey? Got vinyl tickets?
No, really, we're just not religious, thank you.
Oh, well, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Vicar.
Remember, if you do want anything, jewellery, Ascot water heaters.
Thank you, Vicar. It's funny, isn't it, how your best friend can just blow up like that. I mean, you wouldn't think it was medically possible, would you?
This is where Mrs. Shazam was so wrong. Exploding is a perfectly normal medical phenomenon. In many fields of medicine nowadays, a dose of dynamite can do a world of good. For instance, athlete's foot, an irritating condition, can be cured by applying a small charge of TNT between each toe. Excuse me.
Hello, I'm your new vicar. Can I interest you in any of these watches, pens or biros?
No, I'm not religious, I'm afraid.
Oh, souvenirs, badges, little naughty dog for the back of the car?
No, thank you, vicar. Oh. Good morning.
Morning.
Now, many of the medical profession are sceptical about my work. They point to my record of treatment of athletes' foot sufferers, 84 dead, 65 severely wounded, and 12 missing believed cured. But then, people laughed at Bob Hope. They laughed at my wife when she wrapped herself up in greaseproof paper and hopped into the Social Security office. But that doesn't mean that Pasteur was wrong. Look, I'll show you what I mean.
Watch it, mate. I'm not going to stand around here getting poked and prodded all day. I'm off. Oh, really? I've got a decent body. All I get is poked and prodded in the chest. Well, I'm off. I'm going to get another line of work.
Watch it.
Don't go any further.
Turn back.
Stop. Stop.
Stop.
Please. Oh, stop.
Oh, my God. He's fallen off the edge of the cartoon.
Well, so much for that link.
John Copley is the musical and artistic director of Covent Garden. He is himself a talented musician, he's a world-famous authority on 19th-century Russian music, and he's come into the studio tonight to talk about Tchaikovsky, which is a bit of a pity, as this is Farming Club. And on Farming Club tonight, we'll be taking a look at the Ministry's latest preventative proposals to deal with possible outbreaks of foot and mouth. We'll be talking later on to the man who believes that milk yields can be increased dramatically. But first, a Farming Club special. The Life of Tchaikovsky. Tchaikovsky, was he the tortured soul who poured out his immortal longings into dignified passages of stately music? Or was he just an old poof who wrote tunes? Tonight, on Farming Club, we're going to take an intimate look at Tchaikovsky and an intimate look at his friends. Incidentally, BBC Publications have prepared a special pamphlet to go with this programme called Hello, Pianist. And it contains material which some people might find offensive, but which is really smashing.
Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky was born in 1840 in a Ken Russell film just outside St. Petersburg. His father, Leo McKern, a freelance bishop, was married to Vera Plashenka, Julie Christie, but secretly deeply in love with Margot Ferenka, Shirley Abiker, and the strangely flatulent Madame Ranevsky, Norris McWhirter. Soon, however, the family, Eldridge Cleaver, Moira Lister, and Stan the Bat, moved to the neighbouring industrial village of Omsk, Eddie Waring, where they soon found themselves, sadly, quite unable to cope, Anthony Barber. In 1863, however, Tchaikovsky was sent to Moscow to study the piano, and when he'd finished that, the living room. Maurice takes up the story.
Well, guess what? The very next thing he did was to go to this extraordinary, but extraordinary duckety-poos, semi-Mondrian house in Robin, Russia. Harry here, Tammy Tchaikovsky, wrote some of the most semi-super symphonies that ever Henry heard in the whole of his lily life. She was such a good composer that everybody wanted to know. And quite right, too, because she wrote some lovely bits, such as Sally Sleeping Beauty, Patsy Pathetique, Adrian 1812, and lots of Connie Concerti for Vera Violin and Peter Piano Fanny Forte.
But what do we really know of this tortured ponce?
Well, if you can imagine the size of Nelson's column, which is roughly three times the size of a London bus, then Tchaikovsky was much smaller. His head was about the same size as that of an extremely large dog, that is, say, two very small dogs, or four very large hamsters, or one medium-sized rabbit if you count the whole of the body and not just the head. Robin?
Thank you. Well, here's a three-stage model of Tchaikovsky. Here's the legs used for walking around and which can be jettisoned at night. And this is the main trunk, the powerhouse of the whole thing, incorporating, of course, the naughty bits, which were extremely naughty for his time. And the whole thing is subservient to this small command module, the, as it were, head of the whole, as it were, body. Now, Robin.
Peter.
Simon.
Maurice.
Me.
Wow. Poor Pep, she was like a lost lamb in an abattoir. Eventually, she dicky died of Colin Cholera in St. Patsy Petersburg in Gertie Grape, Percy Payne.
Here to play Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto in B-flat minor is the world-famous soloist Sviatoslav Richter. During the performance, he will escape from a sack, three padlocks, and a pair of handcuffs.
This new series of Trim Jeans Theatre presents will enable you to enjoy the poetry of T.S. Eliot whilst losing unsightly tummy bulge. Gene.
Well, yes, and the inches stay off. Mark?
Terrific. Thrilled at Thomas Beckett's Kierkegaardian moment of choice whilst making your physique tighter, firmer, neater.
I am here! No traitor to the king.
Absolve all those you have excommunicated.
Resign those powers you have abrogated.
Renew the obedience you have violated.
Lose inches off your hips, thighs, buttocks, and abdomen. A terrific product.
Terrific.
And this comes complete with the most revolutionary guarantee in slenderizing history.
This was Kevin Francis before last season's Trim Jeans Play of the Month production of The Seagull by Anton Chekhov and the Saunabelt Trim Jean Company Limited. See, Kevin has slipped into his slenderizing garment and is inflating it with a handy little pump provided. Three acts and a few special torso exercises later, Kevin, as Trigorin, the failed writer of sentimental romances, has lost over 33 inches. Wow, what a difference. That Anton Chekhov can certainly write.
Terrific.
Terrific.
Yes, why not join us for a season of classic plays and rapid slenderizing? Enjoy Sir John Gielgud and Sir Ralph Richardson losing a total of 15 inches in David Story's home.
Enjoy The Trim Gentleman of Verona and long day's journey into night while inches melt away.
Enjoy Glenda Jackson with a constant snug fit and solid support in all four areas.
Other productions will include Treasure Island, Swan Lake, The Life and Loves of Toulouse-Lautrec, and the Trim Jeans version of The Great Escape, with a cast of thousands losing well over 1,500 inches.
Terrific, ladies and gentlemen. Really great. Now, the next item on the program is...
I can't stand it, man. Really, no. I've had it with this idiot every night, making me say the most inane.
Really terrific, Eric. Now, the next item on the...
Come on, I'm off. Gone. Straight through, right? I'm going to find a kid elsewhere. Someone with a bit of cool, man. I mean, it's terrible. It's a little hot. I can express myself in a cool manner. I'm going to get a guy who really, you know, did something, you know? And he feels the same way I feel, man. Come here.
Just come aboard, British or pig. Quite a little surprise, yeah? But perhaps you would be so kind is to tell us all you know about certain Allied shipping routes, yeah? Come on, talk.
Hello, Fritz. The table seems to have turned, old chap. Let's see how you like a bit of your own medicine, eh? Come on, Fritz, now tell us. Tell us about the...
Oh, greetings, Company. Very sorry, but must inform you that you are now prisoner. Our people's republic.
I'm very sorry, Comrade Commando, but I have just picked up a capitalist ship, a Ladal scandal.
Oh, I got a horn.
For the lifeboats, and remember, women and children first.
And Indians.
What's going to get dressed up like that?
It was the only thing left.
All right. Women, children, and red Indians.
And spacemen.
Here is a revised list. Women, children, red Indians, and spacemen.
What's that meant to be?
Well, it's a sort of impression of what a kind of Renaissance courtier artist might look like at the courts of one of the great families, like the Medicis or the Borgias.
No, it's not. It looks more Flemish than Italian.
Yes, that's a Flemish merchant of the 15th or 16th centuries.
What, with these tassels?
Yes, yes, they have those fitted doublets going tapering down into the full hose, you know, exactly like that.
One moment, please. Don't panic. What's it meant to be? I've got to tell them something. Is it a Flemish merchant?
No, it is not a Flemish merchant. It's more a sort of idealised version of the complete Renaissance man.
All right. This is your captain speaking. Do not rush for the lifeboats. Women, children, red Indians, spacemen, and sort of idealized versions of complete Renaissance men first.
Flemish merchants did not wear hand embroidered chevrons. They did not.
Yes, Gomez? We found them walking on the beach, my cat. Gomez, why can't you say this? What? Oh, I see, we can't afford it. You see, the BBC has to pay an actor 20 guineas if he speaks, and it makes a bit of a hole in the budget.
28 guineas, sir.
Yes. Oh, you fool! Gomez! 28 guineas!
What about me, sir?
Are you supposed to speak?
No, sir.
Well, you've just spoken!
Oh, sorry, sir.
You fool! Let's put you at 56 guineas before we've even started! Yes! What did you do that for?
It's a stunt, sir. An extra 20 guineas.
No! We can't afford it! The BBC has showed the money as it is!
The BBC wishes to deny rumours that it is going into liquidation. Mrs. Kelly, who owns the flat where they live, has said that they can stay on till the end of the month. And we've just heard that Hugh Weldon's watch has been accepted by the London Electricity Board and transmissions for this evening can be continued as planned. Well, that's all from me, so good night to you.
Are you going to be in there all night?
It's just a bulletin, Mr. Kelly. And now, back to the story.
Come in!
All right!
Should we find these men walking on the beach, my capitan?
We are British naval officers and entitled to be...
Of course!
Hello! Hello, children!
Stop! Stop this adaptation of Puss in Boots! This is the police department of the state of Venezuela!
Oh, no, it isn't!
Oh, yes, it is!
Oh, no, it isn't!
Some questions. And remember, if you do not give me correct answers, we have ways of making you answer.
Like not paying 28 guineas.
Shut up! Now, what ship are you from?
We are from the SS Mother Goose. We were 12 days out from Port of Spain and...
I got 30 bob for the trousers.
We are from the SS Mother Goose. We were 12 days out from Port of Spain. And one night, I was doing my usual rounds... when I had occasion to pass the forward storage lockers. usual. The main bilge hatches had been opened, and there, crouching amidst the scuppers, was the most ghastly creature I'd ever seen in my life. As soon as it saw me, its horrible face split aside in a ghastly look of terror. Its head, which was like a small rat,
thank you,
was ghastly and horrible than before. Its little red eyes glinted in the unaccustomed glare of the midday sun. And before I could shut the hatch, it sprang upon me with one almighty bound.
What's this about doing Horse of the Year show in here tonight?
Oh, I'm sorry, sorry, Mrs. Kelly. You don't know, I'm afraid this is drama.
Mr. Fox told me before he went down to the pub that they're doing Horse of the Year show in here tonight at 9:10.
Well, this is BBC Two.
I think BBC One are in the kitchen.
Well, I'm not having Harvey Smith jumping over my binet.
No, come on! Tearing at my throat, ripping my clothes.
And turn the gas off before you leave.
All right! I fought it with all my strength, but it was too much for me. It's supernatural power.
Round for Harvey Smith on O'Malley.
And now it's Mrs. David Barker riding Atalanta, number 3.
It's one of our most popular programmes.
That's what you think, Mr. Fox.
Well, that's all from BBC Television.
Come on, get in!
Come
on, get in! Get in! Get in! Get in! Get in! Get in! Get in!
Special guests are Lulu, Ringo Starr, and the man you've all been waiting for, your host for tonight.
Hello. Good evening. Welcome. It's